As we open our prayer time, you might like to turn in your Bible to Isaiah and chapter 28. Isaiah and 28. And here we are in the middle of the week, prayer meeting, and what are we doing? Well, in the light of so many things, God, we're in your presence as a body, as was said. And therefore, God, do you know all about last week? I do. All about it. There's things that were and were not and should be and shouldn't and all kinds of things. God, we have to leave, look to you. So God, here we are. And you already have everything of yesterday. And surely goodness and mercy has to pick up the pieces. We have that advantage. In the light of tomorrow, we haven't got there yet. And God, you already know that. We don't, but you do. So here we are in your presence. A huge advantage, to say the least, if you take advantage of the advantage and understand it. And that's what you're doing. You're stopping and letting God just orientate us. Now, in the light of that, in our study of Jeremiah, God, what are you doing? Well, God, among other things, taking care of the every need so that we, like in Matthew chapter 6, so that we don't have to think about, worry about better, get all upset and divided in our mind about eating and drinking and dressing and coming and going for our survival. We don't have to do that. We have a Heavenly Father who knoweth the need before we ever get there. So, God, thank you. And in the process, God, you are giving us your word in the light of all future, all that has happened, and all that's going to happen. And that's a huge advantage. History is replete with people looking to what? To be able to have some vision, some kind of something to help them understand the future. They cut up animals and sacrificed and used livers and different things to try to figure out the future. But we don't have to do that. God has given us his word. So we already know the future. So as we proceed down the corridor of time, we already have the future. And therefore, we're able to move properly with it. Now, and remember, without turning back there, in Jeremiah 12 and that, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, in there, the Lord Jeremiah is concerned about he's running and with the everything going on. He's trying to keep up with it and do the right things. But it's tiring because all the wrong things, the world's going in the wrong direction, and it isn't interested in going in the right direction. So therefore, you're running and you're waiting for a time out. You're waiting for some relief. But there isn't any relief. And that's chapter 12, 1 through 5. And God helps Jeremiah, as we shared, as you know, in the light of it. God, what are you telling him? Well, you're running with the footmen, which is very good, and they aren't, and you have to keep running. Now, be of good cheer, Jeremiah. You're going to go from footmen to people on horses, and they go much faster and much harder than people on feet, walking on their feet. And you're going to have to keep up with them. I'm not changing the course. History has to go down the corridor of time. It's already figured out, designed perfectly to come out just right. But you have to understand, in your position, Jeremiah, you are going to see Nebuchadnezzar level the city, etc. Now, that leads us to what we're looking at in chapter 25. In chapter 25, we shared together, well, I'm sorry, don't want to go that fast. Over, if you would, to Isaiah, that's 28. Now, because we want to have the clue that what does God give us so we understand how to look at this. Now, God, you died on the cross, I did, for everyone that would ever be born, I did. Now, including our Lord. And in the process of all of that, you died. And you made it so that you would, even though they're born dead in trespasses and sin, and they need life, you have made it possible for them to have life. Everyone at any time, all through history, human history. So you've done that. Now, but humans, you know, are going to rebel. They're going to rebel in great number. The people that are going to be saved are in smaller number. Now, and in the rebellion, it isn't going to go away. It just keeps going, just like the runners. And then the times, the world system isn't changing. It just keeps going. So now, having said that and looking at it, now God, and you want to warn them, you want to encourage the world that you died on the cross, Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman. And you want them. You want them also to understand that if they don't receive the Lord as a Savior, John 3:36, the wrath of God is abiding right now on top of them. And it's a time of grace. So you're warning them. Now, you need that little bit as best I can. Now, God, the world is going to ask and wonder about you. So chapter 28, verse 21, as you know, in chapter 21. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth in the valley of Gibeon, that he purpose, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Something unheard of, unthought of. You could dream of it. It would never happen that God would judge his own city, his own temple, his own people. God would judge them. And he would judge them in a very serious way by leveling all of it, the city, the temple, and taking captive all of them, taking captive the people. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, the world says, because remember now, back then, everyone has gods. All the nations have Marduk and all those different gods. And they have their gods, and they worship their gods. They sacrifice their children to their gods. Then they do all of this. So they're honoring, and they do it. And God, their gods, honor them because they worship them. Now, what kind of God is it that would go and do what God is going to do to his city, Jerusalem, to his temple, to his people, by way of Nebuchadnezzar, to level the whole thing in great destruction? Now, how could that be? That's awful strange. And that's the key to keep in mind. If God is going to do that, and if I can even update it and go further, God did it to himself when he determined to be the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He determined to punish himself and pay the penalty at death. So it's pretty serious for God. The world doesn't see that. But you and I need to have a little fresh refreshment so we do see it. Now, God, with that in mind, thus you have Jeremiah's ministry, chapter 1, verse 9, I don't want to turn there, is to what? Israel, and to bring a message to all of the nations. Listen to the message. Again, while you're here, I didn't want to go that fast, because it will help. Isaiah 28, verse 22. Now, therefore, be ye not mockers. Don't be mocking. Don't be thinking, well, it's nothing's going to happen. It's a whole lot of talk and nothing. And don't be a mocker. Don't be a mocker. Someone that just goes and makes fun of the whole thing, like they were doing to Jeremiah. It's never going to happen, Jeremiah, but it was. Now, verse 22, Now, therefore, be ye not mockers, lest your band be made strong. For I have heard from the Lord God of hosts. What is that, Isaiah? A consumption. And the word consumption is a finishing, a complete finishing. Being able to put a period at the end of the sentence, a finishing. Not only a consumption, but even determined destruction. I have made it, there's going to be a finished, complete destruction. And you want to finish the verse upon the whole world. So don't mock me. You think it's strange that I would do it to my people, my own nation. I did it to myself. And so when I turn around, don't make light of it. I'm going to judge the whole world. Now, thus, chapter Jeremiah, and I'll go right through it as best I can here quickly to get to the point. You don't need all the details, I don't think. You do. You won't care where Uz is. Uz is where Job was. And you don't care where Job lived, do you? I mean, do you really want to know where Job lived in the land of Uz? Now, we don't even know where Uz is. Now, chapter 25 in Jeremiah, picking up if I can, in verse 14. We're here. I'm just going to move right through. Now, for many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them. That's Babylon, etc. Also, and I will repay them according to their deeds, their works, according to the words of their own hands. 4, verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, take the wine cup of the fury, the word fury, the wrath. Take the wine cup, think of a cup full of wine, only in this case it's full of fury or wrath or anger. The wine cup of thy fury, at my hand, and cause all nations to whom I send thee to drink it. And they shall drink and be moved and be mad, to go crazy. They're drunk, reeling to and fro. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know where they're going. They shall be mad, crazy, because of the sword that I will send among them. Hang on to that. We'll pick that up. A sword among them. Then, verse 17, then took I the cup at the Lord's hand and made all the nations to drink unto whom the Lord had sent me. Verse 18, to it you started with Jerusalem. I did, said Jeremiah. To wit, Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, and the kings thereof and the princes thereof, to make them a desolation and an astonishment and a hissing and a curse, as it is this day. The world's going to look at them. And verse 19, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and his servants and his princes and all the people, looking at Egypt, and he starts without geographically. We're going to go down to the bottom. Here's the Dead Sea, and over here the bottom, and Egypt's over here, and here we're going to the bottom, and he's going to go, as I'm reading, we're moving up just like this. We're going up, going from the south to the north. We're going northward to Babylon, to Media, Persia, and we're going up like that. We're going up east and west, up just like that, as I'm reading. Well, I'm not going to read it all, but that's what you're reading. The cities, one city after another. And in verse in verse 20. And all the mingled people, mixed people, and all the kings of the land of Uz, and all the kings of the land of the Philistines, and Ascalon, and Azah, and Ekron, and the remnant of Ashdod, and you're going to read Edom, verse 21, and Moab, and the children of Ammon. You're going to keep going, one going right up the road in each thing as you go up. Verse 22, and all the kings of Tyrus, all the kings of Zidon, and the kings of the isles, which are beyond the sea, and we're going to go, keep going. As we go up the ladder, as we go, God, you're going to do what you're going to do, and God is doing it. He's going to judge all of those nations. And that's what he predicted. That's what he was told Jeremiah to make a warning. And the warning is given ahead of time so that the people could know, what does the future hold? Well, we have the information. Now, hang on to that. I'll come right back to this. Over, if you would please, to the book of Deuteronomy, if I can. And in Deuteronomy, picking up, if I can, chapter 4, Deuteronomy chapter 4. And I just want you to be mindful of what we just tried to say. God, you always warn. You always warn ahead, way ahead, even when it doesn't seem possible, but you warn. That's a wonderful thing, to be able to go to God and look to God and understand you don't know the future, but God does. And you're looking to God for the work, home, school, health, whatever you're doing. You're looking for God to get you there. And he knows. And as you look to God, his word, his presence, you know he knows. And not only does he know, but if you want his will, he's going to work out his will. That's what you know. Boy, that's very comforting. That's why we can proceed. Now, see, here's Deuteronomy chapter 4, and picking up if I can, Deuteronomy 4, verse 28. Verse 27. And the Lord shall scatter you. They haven't even crossed the Jordan. And Moses is cluing them in. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in number among the heathen whether the Lord shall lead you. And there you shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, idols and idolaters, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But if thou seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. So there's always to be encouragement, no matter how history's moving, for the people that will look to God. Verse 30. For when thou art in tribulation, all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient unto his voice. So now, here's Moses warning the people about they're going to be scattered. They're going to go to all these nations, which God is going to judge. Over, if you went to chapter 28 while you're here, chapter 28, verse 63. And God is going to say it again before they cross the Jordan. 28:63. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and bring you to naught. And ye shall be plucked from off the land, whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from one end of the earth even unto the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations, verse 65, thou shalt find no ease, neither shall thy soul, or sole of thy foot, have rest, but the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind. And so the history of Israel, looking to find safety from persecution, anti-Semitism, and everything. Now, God warned them before anything. Now, God, we already, here we are looking at it, and we already know. We already know what it's going to be. Hold your finger here in Jeremiah again. Daniel chapter 2. And in Daniel chapter 2, you're going to recall the times of the Gentiles, you recall. And in the times of the Gentiles, what do you know? Well, God, you're going to go and all these nations, starting with Babylon, times of the Gentiles, are going to outwork one after another, are going to rise up, the Roman Empire, all of these things are going to happen, and Roman Empire, and they're all going to go, and when the feet and then the toes of iron and clay, that's the last way the Gentiles are going to try to rise up. And in the time of the toes and the of iron and clay, the Antichrist will rise, a little horn among them, a little toe, if you would. And he's going to rise up, and then I'm coming. So God, you already told all the nations, we don't have to guess, they already are there. They're already there. And God, here we are, verse 44, chapter 2. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. And it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain kingdom without hands, God's doing, and that it break in pieces, the whole thing, iron and brass and clay and silver and gold, the great God hath made known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. So God, we're able to come to you, here we are, and we already know where it's headed, no matter how it's on course. And the train isn't stopping. The world system isn't getting more godly. The world system isn't getting more interested in God. The people you work with, go to school with, all in your neighborhood, everywhere, they aren't more interested in God, generally speaking. They just aren't interested. Is the course going to keep going? All the way to the confrontation with God. Now, back over, you can see that. And God, you've already given it. So we don't have to guess at it. Say, what's the future? I know the future. And I'm sure of the future. So are you. Without any question. And so therefore, I'm not going to get deceived or hoodwinked about maybe it'll get better. Maybe my job will get better. Maybe it won't. Maybe my health will get better. Not likely. The older you get, it's not going to happen. And so, God, here we are. We already know. It's all right. It's all right. We understand. God gave us the information so that we can act properly as we go down the corridor of time. Now, so, in the light of that, in the light of Daniel, in the light of Jeremiah, etc., and all of that. Now, over, if you would please, back over to Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah, picking up down in verse 21, 22, all the way down, 23. And Dedan and Temah and Buz and all that are in the uttermost corners of the tribes out there, and all the kings of Arabia, etc., and all the kings of the mingled people, where all the people were down there in Egypt, etc., and Arabia, and all that dwell in the desert, etc., everyone, and keep going all the way down, and we come to verse 26, and all the kings of the north, far and near, one with another, and all the kingdoms of the world, which are upon the face of the earth, and the king of Shishak shall drink after them. They're all going to go down the corridor of time. Now, in the light of Shishak, you just need a little help with that, and the quickest way to do that is hold your finger here and go over to Jeremiah chapter 51. Jeremiah 51. And God will give us another bit of information that will help us. Shishak means being humiliated. Humiliated. Humility. Humiliated. Now, over in chapter 51, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up against Babylon and against them that dwell in the midst of them that rise up against me a destroying wind. That's about Babylon. Babylon's going to keep getting mentioned because you're going to end up with what? Revelation 17 and 18, Babylon. So God's cluing you in, not only all through history, but it's coming up. So therefore, Jeremiah 51, over to verse 41. Now, how is Shishak taken? And how is the praise of the whole earth surprised? Remember now, when you read, you're jumping ahead now. If you read Revelation 18, what is the world going to say? The world is going to look, and could God do this to Babylon, which is the chief commercial city of the world? Can God really do this as he destroys it? Yeah. Now, verse 41. And Shishak taken, and how it is the praise of the whole earth, and how the whole earth is surprised. How is Babylon become an astonishment among the nations? Shishak, Babylon, is a name for Babylon. Humiliation. God is going to humble them something fierce. Babylon. Now, back over to Jeremiah chapter 25. And in chapter 25, picking up the thought, if I may, I'm going to read verse 27 again. Therefore, thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, drink ye and be drunken, and spew and fall, and rise no more. Why? Because of the sword which I will send among them. And what are you going to do, God? I'm going to let them have wars and rumors of wars. And they're all going to go against each other. They're all going to be afraid. Who's coming against us now? Who's going to get us? I'm going to let that happen. Uh-huh. And the light of that sword. And I'm going to let them drink. I'm going to let them drink of my wrath, my fury, the cup of my fury. Verse 28, and it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup of thine hand to drink, thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, you shall certainly drink. And that's an absolute. It is absolutely certain, the verb. It is absolutely a surety. It's going to happen. You are all going to drink of my wrath. And I am going to judge you all at the great battle of Armageddon, etc. And no one is exempted. I don't want to be involved. You will be involved. Everyone's involved. There's no way to go and dismiss yourself to say, no, I'm not involved. No, you can't do that. No one can do that. That's awesome. Now, picking up if I can, verse 29. And lo, I begin to bring evil on the city, which is called by my name. And should ye be utterly unpunished? Babylon, Media Persia, Greece, Rome, all of them. Shall you guys go unpunished? I'm going to punish my own because of you. Now, don't tell me I'm not going to punish you. You can bet your boots I am now. Verse 29, for lo, I begin to bring evil on the city, which is called by my name. And should ye be utterly unpunished, ye shall not be unpunished, not, N-O-T. For I will call for a sword upon the inhabitants of the earth, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 30, therefore, prophesy. Here we are, God put it in writing, and Daniel read it, didn't he? Daniel chapter 9, he read this book, and he knew the 70 years that God had predicted would come to pass, which we looked at in chapter 25, etc. And the 25 would come to pass, the 70 years. And he understood this. He counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's time. 70 years. Wow. He used it. And here we are, down this end of the corridor of time, the calendar. And here we are looking. And God, here we are looking at we're looking at feet of iron and clay, waiting for the toes over there in Europe. And someone gave me, and I didn't have it all recorded yet in my little brain, about the leading figures in the UN, the United States, and the one taking over, or at least a couple of them taking over the whole thing. They said, quoting, we're looking to make the United States of Europe happen. I thought that's neat. With all that's going on in Greece and Italy and all of that, Spain, and God, and here's the economies and Britain over there. Wow. And God, what are you going to do? I'm going to let it all happen. You're going to let it all happen. That's right. And the United States of Europe. That's interesting. And that's updated. I mean, that isn't 10 years ago or 20 years ago. That's now. And the conditions that exist. And everything, apart from a little bit of grace we're having in our government, once that goes, you know where it's going to go. You know where it's going to go. Nothing's going to stop it. Wow. And anyway, now, so therefore, God, here we are looking. Now, and as we go to the next section, God, you're going to go and level the city. I am. In verse 30, therefore prophesy thou against all these, all these, in other words, say all the words that we're reading to the people, and say unto them, the Lord shall roar from on high, and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation. He shall give a shout as they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. They're all going to drink the cup of fury of wrath. And not only that, now he changes his figure. I am going to be like a lion, and a lion that had to leave its den because of the corruption, the pollution in Jerusalem, in the temple. I had to leave my den, and I'm turning around and leveling my wrath against that city. And you can be sure, the end of verse 30, it's going to be against all nations when I do it. Wow, that's sobering, wonderful. Why is it wonderful? Because things have to work out. If it isn't going to happen, what is your solution as you dream for the world? We don't want God. We don't want God. We just want what we got. And what we got, we're never satisfied with it. So here we are doing that. Now, what's your solution for the world, for history? We don't have any. And whatever we have is unfulfillable, except for God. God, what are you doing? God said, I'm going to make it all happen, It's all going to happen like it should happen. And I'm going to fulfill it. And in the process, be of good cheer. It's the plan. It's the plan for me to take care of the issues. Because, and now, so applying that in the little bit of moments we have, God, here we are. So what do we need to understand? Well, God, the world system isn't going to change. It has no interest in God whatsoever. It is lined up with the God of this world, little g, the devil himself, the prince of the power of the air. So therefore, death and darkness and evil are all there. They aren't going to go away. They insist on pursuing. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And they don't want to be in the light. But where's it going to lead? Well, the devil has a plan. And the devil's plan is in the middle of all of this, to outwork itself, to be his own image in the temple, etc. Now, so here's the world system, and we're looking at it. Now, God, I want to be able, like we said in the beginning, Jeremiah chapter 12, 1 through 5, I want to be able to run with a footman. And God, I don't want to fall down, Isaiah 40. You're going to go and give strength and courage to run with the horsemen. I want to run as long as I live in the midst of it. I don't want to get caught up in the wrong direction, in the wrong things, in the wrong thinking. God, I got enough information. If I just pay attention to you, that I already know. So I don't want to get caught up in that. Now, what do I need to know? Jeremiah, what are you learning? You're learning that in you, Romans, using Romans 8 Romans 7 and 18, I should say, in me dwelleth no good thing. Now, God, the reason all of this takes place is because of my old nature. And every other human being, apart from our Lord, that is born, has my same Adamic nature. And that nature is totally against everything you want. So I want to understand why I need to run with the horses. Because it is my old nature is never going to quit. It never gets nicer. Nicer. Never gets nicer. Always the same. So God, I want to be able to understand. So Jeremiah, I do. So Jeremiah, you're going to go and understand God must judge. And like in verse 24, chapter 7 of Romans, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God in the person and work of Christ. So God, what do I need to know in the awesome future? Not only my own, but the whole world, and Israel included. What do I want to know? I want to know, God, that you have gone and bore my sin in your own body on the tree. And God, you already condemned it. Otherwise, the wrath of God abides on top of me. And you've already condemned it, God. So that what? I'm no more condemned. I'm able to walk in the light comfortably. Not because of anything about persons or us, because of God's grace. And so therefore, as we proceed down the corridor of time, knowing that death and darkness and evil are all there, they aren't going to go away in no way, shape, or form. And the world system, we know, Romans, you don't have to turn there, in Revelation chapter 8, chapter 9, and verse 20 in that. Will the world get better? No. With all the things that are going to be happening in the tribulation, what does the world do? It goes deeper into drugs and drink and everything it shouldn't, sorcery, everything on the earth, and shakes its fist at God. And God said, like in Isaiah, back moving it then up into there, you're going to try to find happy hour, drinking, drugs, to get relief. But it'll never work. It never works when I'm doing what I'm doing. You'll never escape. You'll never get out of it. So God, here we are. And God, so what I want to appreciate, I want to understand. I did 1 John 1:7, go over there and we'll do the rest and close. 1 John 1:7. I hope you got a little bit. It's an awesome subject. And what I find encouraging, I hope you do, that I'm in the presence of God. So are you. And God already knows. So when I read, God helps me. That's what I'm reading for. Why do I want to understand? So I know how to live. How am I going to survive? I need to understand the rules and regulations in order to proceed. So I do it honoring God in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, over to 1 John. And in 1 John, picking up in chapter 1, verse 7, you know, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So God, we aren't trying to figure it out. No, we're just going to thank God that you've made it possible to keep us in fellowship with you in spite of our lousy old nature that hates you. It hates you, but you're able to do that. That's right. And you know it, the illustration, we used it the other day, your eyes are blinking all the time, cleaning your eye. If they weren't cleaning, you'd be in trouble. And you don't even, do you pour water back into your head to get eye drops? You know, no, it just keeps happening. Wow, wow. God, you're going to keep cleansing us as you walk in the light. Absolutely, absolutely. Now, therefore, chapter 4. And in chapter 4, God, what are we going to do? We're going to look to you. We aren't going to fix anything that way. We can't change Joe's bar room to something else. No, Joe can get saved. The bar room probably won't go away. 1 John chapter 4, picking up if I can, for our little heart walking in the light. Verse 4, you are of God, little children, and you have to be a little child, therefore fully dependent on the Father, wonderfully so, wonderfully so. And you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's the Antichrist, the god of this world, Satan himself. Now God, we can't change the world system. We can't change our old nature, no. But certainly God, in you, you give us, you've condemned sin already, so a penalty is paid, we are forgiven, we can walk in the light as are in the light. We aren't trying to tell sin to go away. Sin is just busy, 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 word, thought, and deed. So I'm not going to make sin go away. I've got to get sin out of my life. No, it's just there. Just relax. Just don't trust it. The minute you play with the tar baby, what happens? All covered with tar, and you want to push it away, and your hand's caught, and you want to push it away, and your hand's caught, and then your feet are caught. You're trying to fix your old nature. You reckon it what? Dead. Don't try to fix it. Don't play with it. You'll never get rid of your bad habits doing that. You'll never get them. Relax. Relax. It's just your old nature. And accept it. Be comfortable. I got a lousy old nature. Say, oh, you're a bad person. You bet I am. You have no idea how bad I am. Only God knows how bad we are. And he saves us now. So therefore, God, greater is he that is in you. Chapter 5, and picking up, if I can, in verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So God, how are we going to overcome? Well, we're going to go, greater is he that is in us. We're going to walk in the light as he is in the light. And we don't have to go and try to figure out everything, because that'll drive you bananas if you're trying to do that. So forget doing that. Just thank God. Thank you, God. You took care of the whole ball of wax here. Wow. Now, and therefore, verse 5. For who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? So God, what are we going to do? We're going to know. We're going to know and we're going to show. Uh-huh, that's what we're going to do. And in verse 19, we are wonderfully reminded in the light of that, verse 19, that we are of God, little children, and the whole world system with all of its nations lieth in wickedness in the wicked one. And remember, the easy way to remember that, it's a big casket, and the whole world system's in the casket, and the devil's trying to put the cover on it. That's what it is. Now, God, you said, if I judge Israel, you, the whole earth, is going to be judged. And you can count on it. And there are no exceptions. No exceptions. No. I'm going to start with Israel, and I'm going to do them all. Because the whole world lieth in the wicked one. And I am going to take care of it. Therefore, here we are, as we shared a little bit in our purpose meeting, chapter 5, verse 20. And we know, like we know the whole world lieth in the wicked one, verse 20, we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding. What is that? That we may know him that is true. And we are in him. We are in him that is true. Even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Don't get caught up. God, it's pretty simple. I said, told you. We know. I know. You know. You can't go on the news and give all of this stuff because they'd think you're cuckoo. Abbot, you know it. You know it. Just like the prophets know. The prophets know. The historian, real historians in the secular world, they know. Real people that study history. History repeats itself, is repeating itself. And they know it. It's all going down. Everything goes down. All of history, every part of history keeps going downhill. Wow, that's where we are. So God, it's a wonderful thing to know and understand. And so, therefore, we're what? Looking for the Lord's return to change our vile body of humiliation to one like unto his. And so, God, we're looking with thanksgiving, and we understand. Jeremiah is used to help us to have the understanding to be able to read in the record in your presence what's going to happen and why. And our responsibility to be understanding. The whole world lieth in the wicked one. And be of good cheer. I in you have overcome the world. Isn't that so? Wow.